Your sound of the Whitelands. KC 107.7.
Good evening, South Africa, and welcome to yet another exciting and engaging discussion that is proudly brought to you by the Government Communication and Information System. Tonight, I am with you. I am Lerato Maila, your lunchtime host from Peli FM, and we are together with you on your favorite community radio station between the hours 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. Now, in tonight's edition of the program, we are looking into matters of the Department of Trade, Industry, and Competition. So you can call in with your questions using the studio numbers 012-342-8248, or you can alternatively use 012-342-8272. You can, more than anything, also WhatsApp us on 065-935-5488. Now, today we are joined by Ambassador Xolelwa Mlumbi Peter, as well as the Acting DDG, Ms. Susan Mangole, from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. Good evening, ladies. How are you today? I am lovely. Thank you so much for making time for us, and also hoping that today you've had a great day.
We did, thank you.
We tried.
All right, no, thank you indeed. And we're going to be having a very fruitful interaction today. First and foremost, looking into the G20. Now, we know that this year, South Africa is hosting the G20. So the big question is, what does G20 mean?
The G20 is a group of key countries across the world, spanning both developed as well as developing countries, who aim to find a solution to global challenges. So the G20 deals with a number of key global issues, such as climate change, how do we boost trade in a balanced way that promotes both the interests of developing and developed countries, but also there are other aspects related to job creation, how do we address the current challenges of artificial intelligence that also have an impact on our economies, but also trade in general. It also deals with issues related to health. So it's a broad agenda, but effectively the aim is to ensure that both developing and developed countries engage with a way of finding creative solutions to global challenges.
Thank you very much for that, Ambassador Xolelwa. And with that being said, how then does the G20 address trade?
We have a technical working group that deals with both trade and investment issues. So the trade and investment working group that would look at a number of issues. South Africa is the current president of the G20. We've identified four critical themes that we believe are critical to address the current global dynamics. The first issue is to look at how do we promote trade in a way that promotes inclusive growth. Because what we've seen is that even though global trade has been thriving over time, the challenges is that not everyone is benefiting equally, especially developing countries, and in particular, African countries have been left behind. Even though we are a big continent that has 55 countries, we only account for, as Africa, 3% of global trade. So it will be important to identify what are the challenges in global trade rules that make it very difficult for African countries to fully integrate in global trade. We'll also be looking at how do we promote inclusivity in terms and global prosperity in terms of critical minerals, because we know that South Africa and other African countries have you know, huge endowments in terms of critical minerals. What is important is to look at how do we come up with a grand bargain that ensures that we are able to beneficiate these critical minerals in our countries so that we are able to promote better job creation, especially with South Africa having high levels of unemployment. We will also be looking at issues around how do we promote a trade agenda that promotes an ability for us to deal with the global commons. We just came out of the COVID-19 pandemic, and I'm sure the people that are listening would be aware how we are affected as a country by COVID-19 pandemic. And what was clear is that the global trade rules never assisted us in terms of ensuring equitable access to medical resources. So South Africa is the president, will be looking at how do we ensure that if in future we have another pandemic, we have greater global cooperation instead of what we saw as vaccine apartheid, where the developed countries ended up, hogging most of the vaccines. And also, how do we promote greater local manufacturing of these vaccines at home? So it's a broad agenda that will aim to ensure that, as I said, we promote greater inclusivity, but also global prosperity.
Right, thank you so much for that. Absolutely informative, you know, and among, you know, the open markets, inclusive trade, supply chain and economic growth, you also will be, addressing matters of climate, trade and change, health, digital trade and geopolitics. Could you maybe please dive deeper into that a little bit more?
In the case of climate change, we know that this is one of the existential threats to humanity. And South Africa believes that we all have to play a role as G20 countries. And we have signed up to the Paris Agreement that aims to ensure that we are able to collectively reduce global emissions. We come in from a trade perspective in the sense that we see a number of countries that are implementing unilateral measures, trade measures that are disguised as climate measures. I'm sure the listeners would also be aware that we have, for example, the European Union that has implemented the carbon adjustment, border adjustment mechanism, which effectively is a tax at the border for any product that has high, carbon emissions. What this will do is will affect our competitiveness in terms of accessing global markets. So we are going to have a discussion to say, while we all understand the need to deal with the effects of climate change, can we do it in a way that is not going to lead to fragmentation of international trade, where individual countries are implementing unilateral measures that they deem important to their own countries but have extraterritorial effect in terms of global trade? With regards to health, as I said, the issue is to come up with a trade and investment agenda to deal with the issues of global common. Digitalization is also another important issue of global commons, because as long as we have the digital divide, it means that the benefits of digital trade as well as digital industrialization are not shared equally. So the issues of technology transfer from developed countries to developing countries will be an important aspect. So it's a broad agenda, but also importantly, we'll be looking at how do we reform the trade rules in a way that will ensure that we are able to promote better integration of especially African countries in global trade. So there will be a fourth theme around WTO reform, and also ensuring that there is a development dimension to the World Trade Organization trade rules.
Oh, yes, thank you very much for that. Now we are still with you, with the time being quarter past six, and you are still with us on GCIS Radio. And you can still interact with us on WhatsApp on 065-935-5488. You can also call us on 012-342-8248, or alternatively 012-342-8272. Now, this is directed to you, Acting DDG. We are speaking job creation and economic empowerment. So, government does have numerous programs, you know, that are meant to help South African businesses with financial and non-financial support. And with that being said, what would you say is the difference between a financial grant and a loan that is offered to a business?
Thanks once again. Through the DTIC, the government offers business incentives, which comes as a form of a grant or a loan or even a tax incentive. So in terms of what is the difference, we're implementing this with the Industrial Development Corporation and the National Empowerment Fund. So what we'll then see is that with the DFIs, the two DFIs, NEF and IDC, we are offering concessionary loans. And then through the DTIC incentive branch, we then offer a grant. So that way, what happened is that because grants are not upfront, with the investors or the SMMEs will have to then get funding and then spend first to come and claim. So our incentives comes as a cost sharing and reimbursive across various sectors. So registered business in various sectors can apply for working capital or for machinery and equipment. So that machinery and equipment will be funded through a grant and a loan. So with a loan, you then repay it, and then a grant, you don't repay. However, you need to get a loan and invest first to be able to claim for a grant.
Thank you very much for that, Ms. Mangole. And what financial assistance does the DTIC offer to businesses?
We offer financial assistance in various sectors of the economy, including the manufacturing sector. Within the manufacturing sector, we have the agro-processing support program that support farmers and emerging farmers to be able to process their crops. So we support them through as a grant to buy machinery and then land and also to put some building. Then we also have the Black Industrialist Program that support majority-owned black enterprises to actually manufacture within various sectors of the economy. Then we have another sector, which is the competitiveness, which offers export marketing assistance. That is allowing emerging exporters and exporters to be able to participate and sell their crops across the country, across the globe, including participating in some of the trade agreements that have been entered into. Then we have the services incentives, which include the film incentives, as well as the global business services that we use to make South Africa competitive to attract investors to come into South Africa.
Thank you so much for that, Acting DDG. And we've got Cliff, who is from KSFM in Paris, Free State. He wants to know, how do you apply for the grant?
The DTIC grant, they are available in the DTIC website under the tab Financial Assistance. Across these clusters that I've counted, they are listed there. The website is www.thedtic.gov.za. Then you go into a tab of financial assistance. You will find various clusters, which is services and competitiveness. Then if you are applying for Black Industrialist, you go to Black Industrialist. The key thing I need to highlight for Cliff is that please read the guidelines first. It will then take you through the requirements that you need to meet to then apply. Then there is an application form that you can complete and then email it through to the DTIC.
Oh yes, thank you so much for that. And we are still with you on your favorite community radio station. In the Eastern Cape, we are with Ekipini FM, Engobo Community Radio, Ikhala FM, Kuga FM, Link FM, and Vugani Community Radio. Now, in the KZN region, we've got Abalusi Community Radio Station, GNCR, Highway Radio, Kora, Izwi Lomzansi NN Community Radio, Nongoma FM, and other stations, of course, that are present with us. And we've got a voice note, and let's get to hear what you have to say.
Good evening. I am BK from Eden FM in the Western Cape. My question lies heavily on digitalization. How has it transformed trade financing and also business transactions over the years?
All right. And how do we respond to that, Acting DDG?
Oh, the sound was not coming on my side of the voice note. Maybe if you can repeat the...
All right. Can we...
Good evening. I am BK from Eden FM in the Western Cape. My question lies heavily on digitalization. How has it transformed trade financing and also business transactions over the years?
Okay, I'll attempt to answer that. In terms of trade finance and digitalization, what it does is to simplify the processes through which one applies and accesses finance. That is really the role of digitalization when it comes to trade finance. Of course, as Susan has indicated, what is important is that for anyone to get trade finance, they have to meet specific requirements, and those requirements are available on the DTIC website, so that will be the starting point. But of course, digitalization assists with regards to access to information. It makes it easier for our clients as the DTIC to understand what information they require in order to be able to apply. You don't have to necessarily come to the DTIC. You can submit your applications through electronic means. So that point is simplification and streamlining of procedures to be able to access trade finance.
Thank you so much for that, Assistant Ambassador. And looking into, you know, more matters of financing businesses. Now, we mentioned earlier on that the DTIC does offer financial and non-financial assistance. What types of non-financial assistance does the DTIC offer to businesses?
The type of non-financial support that we are offering, it includes mentorship of businesses, training, as well as some of the capacity building. So through the Industrial Development Corporation and the National Empowerment Fund, post-funding, you are also given a post-investment non-financial support. However, there is also a pre-financing non-financial support that comes in terms of capacity building. We go around the nine provinces, to run training in terms of how you apply for incentives. Then we also work in partnership with the provincial entities as well as the CITAS to actually give business-related training. However, as part of the financing, because we need to do post-monitoring, in partnership with our DFIs, then we then offer the post-financing to be able to assist the investors as well as the SMMEs that are funded to navigate various rules as well as other issues of compliance.
Thank you so much for that, Ms. Susan. Now, Monde from Eden FM Radio in the Garden Route wants to know, what are some engaging opportunities in trade finance that businesses should be aware of? And how do government programs support businesses that are looking for financial opportunities? And also, how can businesses leverage trade credit and supply chain financing?
Okay, so in terms of the supply side, because obviously, when a business gets some of the investors that they want to participate in various markets, then we do work with different entities as well as assisting businesses. So firstly, let's say they want to export to a particular country. They are able to identify a market and come to the DTIC to be able to say, I want to participate in this particular market to be able to sell my product. And then that way, then once then they got that order, they are able to work with us to then say who are the investors on the ground that side. Then let's also say that they come here to say, I've got a business partner who wants to do localization. They've been importing, then now they're saying that we want to localize a particular product. So therefore, they are able to partner with our DFIs to set up that facility, bring in that technical partner.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for that. And Monde would also like to know, thank you once again, Monde, who is with us from Eden FM Radio in the Garden Route. You are very present tonight. Monde would like to also know, are there alternative financing options beyond traditional bank loans for businesses that are looking to expand? And what impact does foreign exchange risk have on businesses, and how can they manage those risks?
We offer concessionary loan, and I think to Monde's point is that obviously when you are buying the machines outside, you need to be able to apply for funding while you also have the risk of the interest rate because it goes up and down. So therefore, it means you then need to give allowance. So we offer the grants. We also have concessionary loan. We have a facility with the IDC, which is priced at between 0 to 2%, which then gives a moratorium and a working capital. That is also to cover, to say, while you're waiting for your machine to come or for the goods or for the international investor to be able to deliver, then you can be covered for that working capital. So to Monde's point, then when you have applied for that working capital facility, then you're able to then be allowed a particular moratorium while you're waiting. And then we then come in with the incentive grant, because the grant, we blend it with the loans. So besides the traditional bank, we also blend it with a grant. Then you spend, after you spend, then you're able to claim for a grant. A grant is not repayable. However, we emphasize job creation. We also emphasize the preservation of jobs. Then we also emphasize the issue of transformation. So therefore, it means while you get that funding as a grant, we will repay it. We will actually reimburse you after you spent the bank loan. Then we're able to actually reimburse you. However, then over a period of 4 years, we'll have to monitor you in terms of jobs, in terms of being operational, as well as in terms of your transformation. So that way, we're able to then make sure that you are sustainable.
Thank you, Ms. Susan. Now we've got a voice note, and let's hear what you have to say tonight.
Good evening. BK again from Eden FM. My other question would be, what are some of the biggest challenges our businesses usually face when it comes to securing trade finance?
All right. The question there would be, what are some of the biggest challenges that businesses, go through and they face in terms of, securing finance?
One of the key things, because of when you secure finance, you need to have a business plan. You also need to have what we call it an offtake or a commitment. So most of the businesses, they struggle to then put that case across. Like in terms of, let's say now you want to manufacture toilet papers, you need to be able to demonstrate that you do have a market for toilet paper through an offtake. So then it means that now you want the machinery to manufacture that. While we will be give you an approval to go and raise money with the other funders, you'll still need to demonstrate that you'll be able to, once you manufacture, you'll be able to then secure a market. That is the first one. Then the second one is also with regard to the compliance. Like, for instance, with the aquaculture program, what you are seeing is that even though we fund them from scratch, but then things like waiting for some regulatory licenses, they take time for the investors to be able to then secure. And then the third one is also with regard to most of them, they come not having a tax clearance. You have to be a South African business in good standing with SARS. Then you find that at that time, they're unable to produce their tax clearance, or that they are in good standing with SARS. So those are some of the elements that, and the challenges that most of them, they are actually experiencing when they apply for financing.
That is absolutely informative. Thank you once again. And thank you, BK, for that voice note. It is from Eden FM. The time on your clock is 18:28, and we are still in conversation with the ambassador from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And this is Ambassador Kolelwa Mlumbi Peter, as well as Acting DDG Ms. Susan Mangole. And Acting DDG, once again, this is for you. Now, what are the common requirements needed when applying for business funding, and how long does it take, and where does one also apply?
Okay, the main requirement is that you have to be a registered business, registered with CIPC, you need to have your tax clearance in order. Then if you're applying under manufacturing, you also need to make sure that you are going to be operating within manufacturing. Those are the three mandatory requirements. And then in terms of each of the program, like for instance now, if you want to manufacture or to do water bottling, you need to be able to demonstrate to say how much do you need, what type of the machines. So firstly, you need the machine for bottling, then how much is it? Then you're able to give us the cost. Then we're able to then say, okay, this is the grant that we'll get. So in terms of application for the manufacturing support program, I've said earlier that you can access the grant from the DTIC website, www.thedtic.gov.za, under the financial assistance tab. So there you will get the guidelines and the application form. What is very critical is that you need to put in an application prior to you buying the machine. So most of the businesses, you find that they bought the machine and then they come back and apply. So those are the key mandatory requirements. Thanks.
All right, thank you. And Sammy from Nongoma is listening from Nongoma FM. And Sammy would like to know two questions, actually. One, what are the available incentives for businesses looking to expand into international markets? And are there any sectors-specific incentives or programs that are available?
So for businesses that are looking to expand, let's say now they want to explore to just participate in various export markets, there is the export marketing investment assistance that then allows them to be able to participate in various markets, as well as including conducting a feasibility of saying that, is there a market for my business there? And then obviously, when you come locally, because you have to export the goods, you then can participate in various programs within manufacturing. We've got the Black Industrialist, we've got the Automotive Incentive Scheme, we've got the Agro Processing Support Scheme, we've got the Aquaculture Development Enhancement Program. Then we also have the Manufacturing Support Program. So within services, we have the Global Business Services that then fund the mostly the global services that South Africa is servicing most of the companies abroad. Then we have the Film and Television Production Incentive.
All right. And while on the topic of incentives, what incentives are then available for the investor?
So when the investor come to South Africa, obviously they want to locate somewhere in South Africa. We encourage them to locate in the special economic zones. So when you go to the special economic zones, we've got about 11 special economic zones in the country. So then they select, let's say they choose to say they're going to go to the East London IDZ or the Tshwane SEZ. So where if they locate there, they're able to be supported with infrastructure support for top structure. So now if they are within manufacturing, the investor will be able to be supported. Depending if they are in the auto sector, they will be able to be supported with the Automotive Incentive Scheme. Then they will also, if they are in manufacturing, any of the manufacturing, it will be the Manufacturing Support Program. So in combination of the Infrastructure Support Program through the Special Economic Zones, as well as a sector-specific grants, that's what we offer for the investor. Over and above that, with Invest SA One Stop, we're able to assist the investor with various services in terms of business visas, in terms of business registration. So those are some of the packages that the DTIC offer to investors when they come to South Africa.
Thank you very much. And you can also continue interacting with us from your favorite community radio station on our studio line 012-342-8248 or 012-342-8272. You can send us your voice notes or messages on WhatsApp 065-935-54. Capital Live is with us. Commuter FM, East Wave, EKFM, Aldos FM, Impact Radio, Lekoa FM, Peli FM, Poort FM, Radio Pulpit, Sidibeng, Umphakathi FM, VUT, Westside and Westbury. It is exactly 18:35 and we are with you on GCIS Radio. radio. And now we know that government is also talking about industrialization of, you know, South African businesses as well, and manufacturing products. And with that, how can businesses also then benefit from government's industrialization program?
One of the key things about industrialization, we've got the various master plans that the country is actually implementing as part of the industrial policy. So how the business benefit from industrialization, firstly, is to set up factories that can replace imports. That's what we call localization. That way they'll be able to then... So then when they do the localization as well as setting up factories, they are able to access financing through the DTIC incentive, through the Industrial Development Corporation and the National Empowerment Fund loans that are there to support them. So then with that, they are able to be assisted with critical infrastructure, because what you are seeing is that with industrialization, we have areas that are not up to date with critical infrastructure. The DTIC has got the critical infrastructure program for projects that are mainly located in municipalities or in areas where you'll find that they struggle with electricity, the roads are not up to date, the water are not up to date. So they are able to access support, which is a cost sharing through critical infrastructure program. So that way we're not getting businesses concentrated mainly in the urban, but we're also able to expand them across South Africa. That is actually aimed in making sure that the economy is inclusive, and also it's transformed and it creates jobs where people are located. So that way industrialization will be able to benefit South African across 9 provinces.
And maybe just to all markets internationally, because for South Africa to industrialize, we also need to ensure that we are able to access inputs that go into the productive processes cheaply.
Yes.
To make our products that we produce in South Africa competitive, for them to be able to compete when they go into international markets.
Yes.
So through the DTIC, we have a trade negotiation program where we are opening up market access opportunities for South African produced products to be able to access international markets. We have a number of trade agreements, SMMEs for a preferential rates to countries who are our neighboring countries in the Southern African Customs Union, Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, and Eswatini. But also beyond the Southern African Customs Union, we have which includes 14 countries in Southern Africa. But beyond that, we have the African continental market that opens up the opportunities to export to the rest of Africa, so 55 countries. And beyond Africa, we also have market access opportunities in the European Union, so the 27 European Union countries, but also the UK, countries that are also in the rest of Europe, such as Switzerland, Norway, but also to the US market through the African Growth Opportunity Act. So the trade and opening up market access opportunities about ensuring that we are able to boost industrialization in South Africa to be able to remain competitive in international markets.
All right. And before we resume with that, we do have Dr. Mieza on the line, who is from Radio Kwezi. Dr. Mieza, good evening to you.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
All right. What questions do you have for Ms. Susan Mangole as well as Ambassador tonight?
My question is based on the... Okay, let me first question first. My question will be short. It is about the rural areas. Since we are in deep rural areas, like here at Nsinga, I'm listening from Equal FM. What are the better options? Maybe the people from the rural areas that can be the department can help on it. And also, since we are struggling for the issue of water in rural areas, how can we, as the government, can assist the local community on that one? Thank you.
Thanks. Through the National Empowerment Fund, we have the Rural Township and Community Development that is aimed at facilitating community involvement in projects in accordance with all the legislation. So what it means is that, and I think I'm going to give an example of the funds that we've been running throughout. So the Rural Enterprise, the Rural and Township Fund will fund any business that operate in the rural area. So that is a blended finance. So meaning that obviously if you've got a bakery in the rural area, we're able to then support you with machinery and equipment as well as the working capital. The key one now that we are also rolling out is the Spaza Shop Fund. With the Spaza Shop Fund, we're also looking at prioritizing rural area. That way we are able to then, because in most of the rural areas you've got some of the farmers, then you are able to assist them to package those crops to sell within their community. That's the first one. But then for the Spaza Shop, if you are a Spaza Shop owner, we're able to then assist you with the refurbishment as well as the refrigeration. So the fund is run under the National Empowerment Fund. However, it's run as a blended facility, as a grant, both as a grant as well as a loan. So it's the facility that we're offering. In terms of infrastructure, through the Critical Infrastructure Program, we do support projects in the rural area. Like, for example, let me say, however, the projects that we are supporting is to unlock economic activity. Let's say there's an investor that is locating there to actually build a shopping center or a mall. So where we come in will be to facilitate the infrastructure in terms of the roads and the water and the electricity. However, as we support that, we also include that bulk infrastructure be shared with the community. So it means if we are now like supporting a sort of a power station, that power station will have to then benefit the community as well. So hence we then come in with the critical infrastructure where if there is sort of an investor. So investor in terms of a shopping center, investor in terms of a mine, or an investor in terms of an agro processing project where they are packaging or selling the crops.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much for that, Acting DDG, as well as Dr. Mieza, for your call. And we do also have Ayanda, who is from Vryheid in KZN. And Ayanda is listening from Abakulusi 90.7 FM. And Ayanda would like to know, how possible is it to find small businesses grabbing opportunities that are found in the digital trade space?
It is very possible, and the plan, of course, we understand the issue of digital divide, where, for example, you find that especially for people who are in rural areas, it's very difficult to either access the network or even costly for them to be connected to digital solutions. However, there is work that is being done, and not only by the DTIC, but also other government departments, to ensure that we are able to open up and ensure that the network is accessible to allow for people in rural communities to access digital solutions. The important part around the digital solutions is that they allow especially producers in rural areas to be able to access international markets without necessarily having to incur the cost of getting physically to especially the economic centers. We also have, for example, in the DTIC, the Exporter Development Program that gives exposure to people in rural areas, exposure to how they can access markets, both in terms of requirements that they need to meet to be able to access the markets, but also to look at innovative solutions such as digital solutions to access the market. So actually the digitalization is assisting to bridge the costs associated with accessing formal markets.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Kolelwa. And we do also have a voice note by Kuabas, who is from Waterberg Stereo 104.9 FM. Kuabas, let's hear
it. We have a question. Can an Article 21 company also apply for a loan? Can you please find out for us?
All right. Can an Article 21 company also apply for a loan? That is what Guobas would like to know.
Just maybe for clarity, Article 21, is it the non-profit or is it a full company?
All right. Now, I don't know if Guobas can, yes, clarify that.
So maybe just to come in, because obviously the funding that we offer have to be registered as a company, as a cooperative. See? However, we are excluding non-profit organization, but then a company that is registered under the Companies Act and registered with CIPC can actually get funding. I think on that one, I'll have to just check which one is Article 21.
Yes.
So then for the cooperatives, they do qualify for funding with us across various incentives.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And of course, you can still interact with us on our WhatsApp line 065-935-5488. And how then can... Black industrialist, this term, what does it take then? What is required for one to be a black industrialist?
Okay, for a black industrialist, we're looking at the company that is majority owned by and controlled by a black person. So it's 51 plus. So meaning that you should be owning that and operationally involved. So to be able to qualify for the black industrialist scheme, you have to be operating within the manufacturing sector. So then if you are manufacturing and you are 51 owned, you do qualify for black industrialist and you do qualify to be a black industrialist.
Thank you very much for that. Now, we also hear that there is industrial development agencies, you know, the IDC, as well as National Empowerment Fund, the NEF, as well as the DTIC, which you guys are representing this evening. And we want to know then, what is the difference and what does each entity offer?
Between the three entities, we call ourselves the Industrial Financing Group. Within the DTIC, we offer the grants. The grants are not repayable. Then with the IDC, EC and the NEF, they offer the loans. So the loans are concessionary. In most cases, we are actually blending our support. So meaning that if you're looking for a manufacturing support program, you can have EC to get a loan. Facilities are actually blended. Similarly with the National Empowerment Fund. So that they're administering as a loan, that will be priced at about 2.5% rate. That is also to make sure that accessibility and affordability, but also to de-risk a lot of the investment by SMMEs and also within the black industry. So for a black cost, it's a cost DC and the National Empowerment Fund. So meaning that DTIC will come with a grant, then the IDC will come with a loan. With the loan, the investor will have to repay. With a grant, that's the portion that is not repayable.
Oh, thank you so much for the clarity. And we also do then have Gustav, who is with us from Radio NFM. Gustav wants to know then, how do businesses qualify? Is there some criteria of sort for low-interest businesses, for low-interest business loans or SBA loans?
Let me start by saying businesses across various sectors. I spoke about the black industrialists, which mainly support a company, black industrialists that are in manufacturing. I spoke about the manufacturing support program. The manufacturing support program is open for all the manufacturers in South Africa.
Yes.
So let's say now you're looking for 10 million to buy your machinery. You will then qualify for up to 30% of the grant. Then you can apply with the IDC or the NEF loan, which will then be priced at 2%. So then that way, then you are able to then blend the two facilities while you have both the loan and the grant. So the criteria of how you qualify, they are mainly in the website of both the IDC. However, we are currently rolling out the website. They will be able to see various support in terms of grants, loan, and then and by IDC and NEF. Then wherever you click, then it takes you to the facility. So that way you're able to say, if now I'm a manufacturer, I need the following. So with the IDC, this is what I'm going to get. With the DTIC, this is what I'm going to get. Then you're able to then put in your application.
Thank you very much for that, Ms. Susan. And what are the requirements, you know, and processes also to just get assistance from business funding institutions of government?
The key requirements, like I said, that you have to apply before you're buying your machinery and equipment. Let's say you want to set up a plant of processing your crops. So therefore, it means you have to then put in an application under the manufacturing support program, state how much you require, as well as state in terms of the cost of those machines, then state who your market will be. So that will have to be supported by quotation. Well, once we get your application, we do run a due diligence because to make sure that the company exits your business, also to understand so that then when we get to the next level, we don't present it to the committee without understanding the business. So part of gathering that information will then allow the team to get the application adjudicated. Once adjudicated, then we should be able to communicate the results. If they've given us all the documents and they are able to then allow us the availability to come and do a due diligence, we are looking at about plus minus 60 days to complete the process of going to adjudication. However, it will depend per scheme because some of the schemes has got high volume, whereas some of the ones do not have high volume.
All right, thank you so much for that. Now, as we mentioned, now there are entities like the NEF, the IDC, as well as the DTIC. If then a person has then applied and qualified at one government institution and then also apply elsewhere at one of the other institutions, does that work? Will they get approved at me?
What we also, the reason we do due diligence is to make sure that we don't fund the same asset as the three. So let's say you want one machine. That machine cost 30 million. So you can apply for IDC to get your 10 million loan. You can apply with NEF and then get 10 million. And then you can also apply for a grant. So what we're not going to see is that you apply then for Department of Agriculture's incentives. So therefore, that will actually be double dipping. But where it's a loan and a grant is not double dipping, what we are actually reimbursing. In some cases, you find that some of the investors are funded by both a bank and a DFI, then that's when the grant comes in. So we do those verification to make sure that there is no double dipping.
Thank you so much, Ms. Susan. We've got Uvezu Plungu from KZN. Good evening to you, Uvezu Plungu. How are you tonight?
I'm good, and you, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And what do you have for us tonight?
First of all, your lovely guest there at the studio. First of all, I would like to appreciate the initiatives of the department to support the local businesses. Then my question is, if it happens that you apply for the funding or the grant and you get it, do you then get the training as to how maybe to start that particular business that you have applied for, or to pass your business plan that your business is going to work, or do they take you and give you proper planning, or rather give you proper training
to the financial and non-financial support, right? All right, and what is your response then to that?
We, through the DFI and also the DTIC, we do run capacity building workshops across the provinces to take the companies through to say, these are some of the things that we are offers in these sectors. Then we also work in partnership with some of the sector association in terms of training the businesses. So post getting approval, there's a post-investment support that is offered. In some of the incentives, you then need to indicate if you require business development. Business development is specifically for that business that you have actually been approved for, especially if it then includes that you need to also have some of the technology that you need to put. So obviously that technology will come with a sort of a training that you may require. And we also work with various sectors where we actually able to then ask for the training of some of the SMMEs. But the key one is the non-financial support that is offered post-investment. Yes. So that way then we're able to then assist various companies to say, this is how you run certain things. Also, there are also some of the institution of government like SIDA some of the DFIs within the provinces, they run those workshops continuously. Tolelo spoke about the export development program as well. So we roll out various training programs across the provinces. Then for the individual ones, that's where then the company need to then say, okay, for my post-investment, these are the activities that I will then require as part of business development.
We do offer capacity building in terms of understanding. So we go to various provinces and we work with municipalities as well as provincial agencies to ensure that our MSMEs are aware of where they can export their product to, and for them to be able to access that market, what local content requirements they must meet, and three, what other requirements they need to meet to be able to export to various markets across the globe.
Thank you very much. We do have Umatlo from Radio Turf in Limpopo. Good evening, Ms. Susan Mangole. I'd like to know, what are the key sector development strategies that are put in place, and what are critical mandatory requirements that are then considered for funding applications to be successful?
The key sectors, we actually offer funding within the critical productive sectors of the economies across most of them, which is your manufacturing, services, and then we also have the infrastructure development. One of the critical things is job creation, transformation, and also localization. So those are the key mandatory things that if we give you support, we want you to create and sustain jobs. We also need to make sure that you localize. You actually make sure that you process or manufacture goods that are in South Africa. Then you are also transformed. So those are the key things. The reason we are doing this is that obviously we're implementing various master plans that have been developed by the department and other departments. Through those master plan, we aim to actually create an inclusive growth for the country, but also to make sure that localization, and we also being able to actually participate in various export markets that are being created for South African businesses.
Thank you for that. And Cliff from KSFM in Paris once again is asking, is there support if there is a drought, for example, or is this where insurance then comes in?
In terms of the farmers, obviously, if there is a drought, that will be for primary farming. We actually don't support primary. We only support it through the IDC. Where we come in is where you actually process your crop. That's your crops. That's through the grant. But then for the farmers, obviously, they will have to reach out to the Department of Agriculture Land Reform. But then the IDC, they're also administering the Agri-Industrial Fund, or in partnership with the Department of Agriculture, that farmers can access. So in case of the drought, obviously, it will be either through the Department of Agriculture or through some of the funds that would have been set up by the department as emergency for farmers.
Thank you. Thank you. It's from Mpo, who is with us with Botlokwa FM. So the first question, and we'll be breaking them down question by question so I don't bombard them and Ambassador Kolelwa. So the first question is, does the DC...
In terms of trade, yes, we do. So as I said, we work with the municipalities and we work with provincial agencies to provide capacity building and exposure in terms of what opportunities exist. In terms of accessing global markets. So that is done. And then also we do provide capacity, assist in terms of giving exposure by attending exhibitions.
Yes.
And to assist them to understand how to package their products so that they have an international appeal. So all of that is programs that we provide.
All right, and the second question being, as far as the focus areas are concerned, what specific businesses are prioritized?
We, through various incentives, we support either new or when you expand. So obviously, if you are a new business, you are able to apply for funding, for support. And also, if you are expanding, whether you are in the rural and township area, are able to actually apply for that. So training, when we go to rural areas, we go with the, together with the company registration, we take the whole group of the DTIC, then we're gonna train you how to register your company, how to access funding, and then how to also participate in various export markets.
All right, thank you. And lastly, can community radios or newspapers also apply for content, equipment, or transmission tariffs as far as funding is concerned?
In terms of tariffs, depends on which tariffs listener is talking about. If, for example, they want to import a specific equipment and we currently have a tariff that makes it expensive for them to import that specialized equipment, especially if it is not produced, we encourage, of course, that whoever wants equipment, they source from South Africa, because that is how we create jobs and also grow the economy. However, if for some reason this is equipment that must be imported from other countries and there is a tariff, they can apply for a duty drawback or rebate, which will make it very easy for them to access that equipment at cost. So in terms of tariffs, there is a way of addressing the tariff barrier if the tariff is an issue.
That's absolutely informative, Ambassador Kolelwa. Thank you so much once again for that. And we do have a voice note.
Hi, my name is Moses Khumalo from Eshowe, Mbongolwane, esifundeni saseSoyaya. Ngokuhlala phansi ngila eSavanna Park. Ngifuna phansi ungisiza la. I believe ukuthi ningangisiza. So anyway, nga register but inkampani iPTY. So ngifuna phansi ukulokhuzana. Ngifuna but ukustarta back ngenza i-office lami laphana e-320 ngifuna ukwenza i-printing. Manje bangitshela ukuthi kufanele ngibe ne-data base kamasipala. Ikuphi engingakwenza ukuze ngikwazi uma ngiwathola support but ukuvaroli nama t-shirts.
All right.
So for the caller, I think what they can do, because I understand it's a printing company, then also they also need to market their product. They can approach the National Empowerment Fund. So because they're in the rural area, they'll be able to be assisted to say what are the markets. Kolelwa has mentioned that we do have some of the exhibition where we invite businesses to say, come and participate, come and showcase. So when we do workshops in most of the areas, we do partner with SMMEs to say, come and showcase your product. So the caller can approach the National Empowerment Fund to be able to get funding for this, how to then expand their customer base.
Thank you very much, ladies. It's been an absolutely informative chat, a very fruitful one, and I personally have learned a lot as well. And it's been absolutely a pleasure having you in studio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And there you have it. Definitely valuable and useful information to empower our lives. Now, for more information on the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, you can visit their website on www.thedtic.gov.za. You can also follow them on their Facebook page. That is the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, South Africa, on X. It is at the DTIC, the DTIC underscore, and on YouTube, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And of course, a special thanks to as acting DD, as well as our technical team. Komoto KG Ranoto is with us, as well as Lerato Gift Musa. One, not forgetting Stembile Mazaleni and Mpo Biter. Till next time, I am Lerato Maila, and this was yet another proud production brought to you by the GCIS.
Casey always plays the music I love.